Stu Does America.
Follow the show, if you would, on YouTube, youtube.com/Stu Does America. Be sure to subscribe, hit the bell for notifications. We've got Dan Andrews coming up to determine whether Superman can change the Washington Commanders back to the Redskins or something like that. We've got Elon Musk's political career taking another interesting turn. Seems like a new direction almost every other day. But we're going to start by doing the left's flood lies debunked. Just an absolutely awful story from over the weekend. Search teams scour Texas flood zone for dozens missing, 78 confirmed dead. I believe that number is now over 80. One of the worst things you can possibly imagine. And I, you know, it really hits. This is one of those stories that I think hits you in a particular way if you're a parent. If you've ever sent your kids to camp, you know that there's like that weird part of you that thinks, I don't know, they're always right with you. They're in your house. And even though you know it's a camp and it's going to be safe and everything's going to be fine, there's a part of you that's like, gosh, I'm letting them go and they're going to be with these, you know, counselors that I don't know all that well. And, you know, what if they, you know, try to jump off something and hurt themselves or, God forbid, drown in a lake or God only knows. And you just entertain all the worst case scenarios as a parent. And to think of like these people who sent their kids to this camp that was, a great camp with great intentions, kids having the time of their lives and their bunks and they're with all their friends. And the fact that this ends this way is almost impossible to even comprehend or think about. You know, the last story that really hit me in this sort of way was going back to like the Newtown shooting, right? Where it was these 5-year-olds and they're just in their class and totally, you know, innocent and having no idea what's, you know, what the world around them really even is yet. And it's just impossible to talk about the story without leading with the unending grief these parents must be dealing with. And it's interesting to see a lot of them deal with it because I feel like they're, what I've seen from the reaction from parents and relatives, of course, is horror, of course, is grief. But also, it's a little bit different than other tragedies where there's been a lot of prayer. There's been a lot of trying to undertake this. And while you can't understand it, trying to get themselves to a place where they can, you know, turn this into whatever positive they can in the long run. And that's almost impossible to think of. I know I'm not strong enough to be thinking that way at this point. But it's amazing to see these parents do that. There's lots of great heroic stories of rescue. I could sit here and honestly, like, we could do the entire monologue just talking about all the really wonderful things that have come from the reaction to this. There are a lot of them. And, you know, it's also, we could talk about just the tragedy itself. I mean, one of the things that's really hard to wrestle with something like this is that if this happened at, you know, noon, probably the death toll is much, much, much lower. I mean, the fact that these kids were all just basically asleep, you know, you have all the systems set up to try to warn people. Well, when you're in the middle of an area without any cell phone coverage, mostly, and, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and everyone's asleep, you know, they don't even know that the alerts are happening. And so it's a very, very difficult thing to deal with. And I have a little bit of grace for people maybe even reacting poorly to it, right? Where like maybe you don't handle yourself the best way possible. But I don't know what it is about our society that means that like we have to take an issue like this and immediately jump to the bizarre political ends that so many on the left decided to do this weekend. I think it's important to go through some of this and at least give you the facts of the situation so that when you hear these sorts of complaints, because I heard them this weekend from people who are more on the left, who are bringing up all these same complaints, not like the awful ghouls I'm about to show you, but, you know, even in a way of just like, gosh, well, you know, it should be funding, you know, the weather services. I'll give you all the answers on that here in a second. Let's go through some of the worst actors, perhaps. And we start with this lady from Bluefish Pediatrics. And she seems, I don't know, seems like somebody like you bump into at church or somebody really, really nice, maybe a nice teacher or something. This is what she decided to write in the middle of all of this going on. She wrote, "May all visitors, children, and non-MAGA voters and pets..." I mean, because some of the pets do vote for MAGA, so they're and pets be safe and dry. So notice she's making a clarification there, praying for some, the people who agree with her politically, to be safe and dry. Kerr County MAGA voted to gut FEMA. They deny climate change. May they get what they voted for. bless their hearts. So bless their hearts being the sarcastic sort of thing that you say to people when you don't really care about them. Oh, they got what they deserved. And then, no, it's even worse than the typical, well, they're getting what they deserve. It's not even that. She's wishing for them to get what they deserve. This is a pediatrician. Imagine if this was your pediatrician for your kid. How would you react to that? Well, there has been a reaction to that one. Pediatrician has been fired for vile posts suggesting Texas flood victims were Trump supporters who got what they voted for. Again, she didn't say they got what they voted for. She said she wishes, she hopes they get what they voted for. The people who hadn't been killed yet, she was hoping were killed. So it's actually worse than that headline, just to make that clear. She was, of course, not the only one. We had all the flavors of the crazy leftist rainbow out on parade. We had this one from Jacqueline Omaleski. She wrote, Trump and Musk defunded the NWS. That's not true. Shut down their website. It's not true. Turned off the weather satellites. That's not true. Fired hundreds of thousands of scientists. I mean, I don't know how many scientists she thinks we have in our employ. Hundreds of thousands of scientists, not true, researchers and meteorologists. So that's every single part of that was, of course, a lie. And then you had crazy people on TikTok doing things like this. And again, social media has not been good for our society. It does occasionally point out the crazy people, which I guess there's some positive there. Here's one of those crazy people doing what I think so many people do, and try, I would just warn you to try not to be this person. Try not to be the person who has like five or six things that they believe, right? And then just applies one of those five things or a combination of those five things to whatever situation is going on. So if you were, let me give you an example. If you happen to think, well, Donald Trump's a racist and MAGA people are racist, don't just take that and apply it to this situation, because you're going to wind up doing things like this.
I know I'm probably going to get canceled for this.
No.
But Camp Mystic is a whites-only girls Christian camp.
No, it's not.
They don't even have a token Asian.
That's
they don't
true.
Have a token black person. It
not
is
true.
A all-white, white-only conservative Christian camp. If you ain't white, you ain't right, you ain't getting in, you ain't going.
Stop for one
period.
Second. None of that is true. This is not a whites-only camp. And it is not true that you're not getting into the camp if you're not white. None of the things she's saying are true. And you might think to yourself, well, where is she getting this information, right? Quite clearly, she is getting it from the slideshow of the pictures that she is watching on the website. So the website, if you're listening on podcast, has a rotating slideshow of just pictures of little girls having fun at the camp. Many of them are white. She mistakenly believes all of them are white. And that is her evidence to support making a statement like this, accusing the camp of being whites only, which is just not true. And there's no evidence of that. No one who knows anything about the camp has accused them of this even. But she's out there just blurting it out. All right, give me more of the dumb video.
Needs to be said in this matter.
It's important.
It's not to say that we don't want the girls to be found, whatever girls that are missing or whatever right now.
Or whatever.
But you best believe, especially in today's political climate, if this were a group of Hispanic girls, especially with them being in East Texas, it should be most likely Hispanic. If this were a group of Hispanic girls out there, this would not be getting this type of coverage that they're getting.
Stop again.
No one would give
First of all,
and all these white people,
First of all, it's not true. Certainly not for me or anyone that I know or respect. No one would be saying, oh, gosh, it's only Hispanic, so I don't care. Number two, she keeps saying, oh, well, if it was in East Texas, that should be all Hispanics. First of all, it's a weird thing to say. But second of all, it's not even East Texas. It's Central Texas. It's not even an accurate statement in any way. Also, as she, and again, I haven't looked at, it's hard to see all the pictures. It's a small sort of TikTok video. But like, it seems like there are non-white kids in the pictures that are she's actually showing. It's a very strange point. All right, let me finish up the video.
That they're getting, no one would give a f-. And all these white people, the parents of these little girls, would be saying things like, they need to be deported, they shouldn't have been here in the first place, and yada, yada, yada. So before y'all come
no,
at me, before y'all start leaving hate comments on my page about, oh, these are just kids and they don't know no better, da, 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 da. The parents of these children who are choosing, and it is a choice in 2025, it is definitely a freaking choice to go into East Texas and to make a all-white
not
enclave.
East Texas. It's not all-white.
exclusionary just for white people, with all the black people in East Texas, with all the Hispanic people in East Texas, somehow, some way, you have carved out an all white.
It's not all white.
Whites only enclave in East Texas for your white children.
It's not for white children.
Yeah, I have a problem with that.
Okay, you're an idiot. Okay. Now you might say, all right, why are you highlighting just some random idiot? This isn't a random idiot. This is a former appointee to the Houston City Board. Sade Perkins, by the way, is her name. So there you go. That's where that is. Now, of course, that's the fringes, the extremes, I suppose. You get the run-of-the-mill standard nonsense, of course, from House Democrats saying climate change is obviously a part of the Texas flooding. Now, again, does the 0.9 degrees Celsius or temperature rise over a century lead to these floods? I mean, you can make that argument. You can make the argument really, I mean, I'll get into why you can't make the argument sensibly, but you can understand the corollary of why you might say something as dumb as that. The issue, of course, is why would you go to that place right now? I mean, even if you think climate change is the issue, you're not solving it tomorrow. As every one of these models will show you, the CO2 stays in the atmosphere for a very long time. So even if you implemented all these policies, none of this would have anything to do. You can wait. You don't need to dance on the graves of all the dead children today to make your political point. You can wait. But, of course, they can't do that. You also have a Dana Bash. Now, Dana Bash is an interesting character. Again, news person, completely unbiased. For those who maybe have been watching the show for a long time, maybe have been following politics for a long time, maybe you've been involved in the day-to-day of politics for a generation of your life, you might be able to detect this, but only a sleuth could do it. This went viral on the internet. The way Dana Bash handled flooding under the Biden administration and how she's handling it during the Trump administration, there's the slightest of differences. See if you can pick it up.
The former president is falsely accusing federal relief agencies of maliciously withholding and misusing aid. Take a listen.
We give foreign countries hundreds of billions of dollars, and we're handing North Carolina $750. If you want a president who won't even try to save you when the floodwaters are rising, vote for Kamala.
What you just heard is not true. They're rumors and they're lies, and they are hurting the very people that thousands of FEMA emergency responders are trying to help. It's raw politics and dangerous politics. A lot of the people who are believing these lies are Trump voters. Why is he spreading misinformation in a crisis like that? And does that concern you about your fellow North Carolinians?
You have migrants being housed in luxury hotels in New York City. We have paid so much money from our tax dollars into the crisis that didn't need to happen. We could redirect money to help people immediately on the ground in North Carolina.
But Laura, they're saying that they have
probably going to have a situation coming up in the next several days.
That's a separate tranche of money. That's a separate tranche of money. Just talking about the federal government and even the local government, two Texas National Weather Service offices involved in forecasting and warning about flooding on the Guadalupe River are missing some key staff members. A director of the NWS union told CNN that the Austin San Antonio office is missing a warning coordination meteorologist due to the Trump administration's buyouts. Do you have any indication whether those or other cuts helped play a role in the fact that
the
flood zone were not prepared and certainly not evacuated?
Did you pick that up? It was very, 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 very nuanced, but she seemed to be immediately jumping to the defense of the Biden administration and immediately accusing and asking leading questions to get positive responses on the attacks toward Donald Trump. Shocking, I know. It's almost as if this is just the run-of-the-mill playbook for a lot of these people, which is really bothersome. So let me get you to the facts of this, because we've gone into all the idiotic attacks for probably too long here. The National Weather Service did warn about this, as we pointed out. When you make a warning and it's the middle of the night and the whole thing develops between midnight and 4 a.m., it's It's really, really hard to get enough people awake to avoid tragedy. It's very, very difficult to do. National Weather Service defends its flood warnings amid fresh scrutiny of Trump staff cuts. Experts said warnings issued in the run-up to this weekend's flooding were timely and accurate. The questions about whether the alerts affected people most at risk remain. Now, again, they don't really remain. But, I mean, NBC News is saying that. By the way, here are the these are the actual releases from NWS. Their first warning and their second warning. There we go. We have the text from both of them. Now, Chris Martz, who is a meteorologist, he talks about these issues often and did a really good breakdown, I think, of the staffing stuff and what to understand about this. So I want to go through some of this. This, again, Chris Martz, WX on X. He says, so let's discuss the flooding in Texas. Here are many facts that many Democratic mouthpieces and some legacy media outlets are choosing to ignore. Number one, the National Weather Service in office in Austin and San Antonio was staffed with five meteorologists throughout the storms on Thursday and Friday, according to NWS meteorologist Jason Runyon. Most offices usually have two on staff when the weather is benign. So the claim that an 11% reduction in NWS employee headcount from the Trump administration's RIFs played no role in their ability to post forecasts and get information out to the public. So quite clearly, when you have normally two, but in this situation five, understaffing is not the problem, and that's been repeated over and over again. Number two, the NWS office issued a flood watch for the area at 1:18 p.m. On Thursday, more than 15 hours in advance, urging residents to be weather aware. At 1:14 a.m., they issued a flash flood warning for more than 3 hours before the Guadalupe River rapidly crested at 29.45 feet in Hunt, which is near Camp Mystic. There was plenty of warning from forecasters, even if initial forecasts did not predict some 12 to 20 inches of rain falling. The unfortunate aspect of all of this is that most people were probably asleep when the waters rose. And with no county flood warning systems that function like a tornado siren, the flash flood warnings posted by the NWS went unnoticed. So we talked to Chip Roy, who is from Texas in this district. He mentioned that he's like, you know, we're going to look into this. What's the best way to prevent this? He's like, my gut tells me we need sirens of some sort. I mean, I just haven't, you know, we don't know yet. We haven't looked into every aspect of this, but that's what my gut tells me. And that's understandable. I will say this, and this is a tough thing because it's just very true. What's likely going to happen after this flood, flash flood warning happens, is the government will probably get more aggressive in issuing flash flood warnings whenever anything is possible. In fact, I will tell you, I got a flash flood warning on my phone after this event happened. Do you know what I did? I just scrolled past it. And that's what I think most people in this area. Now, I'm not in that central Florida flood area. And I would say you can certainly make the argument that maybe the camp counselors with this sort of history, they've had incidents in the past on this river where, you know, maybe they should have had a different standard than maybe I would in my area. But that being said, when the government will probably start doing this more often and then eventually it will become even more ignored. It's very difficult to get people to actually move unless you're only issuing these things when you're sure something terrible is going to happen. And then you're going to wind up missing times that you don't aren't sure about that. It's very difficult. All right, let me go on with his Martz's work. The flooding was inevitable. The remnants of Tropical Storm Barry, we made landfall in Mexico, were absorbed into a broad retrograding upper level low. Further destabilization of the lower atmosphere resulted in a rotating, an MCV is what they how they abbreviate it, which stalled over central Texas and dropped over 1.8 trillion gallons of rain in hill country. The dynamics involved here are poorly understood, and as a result, the models have a very difficult time predicting exactly where these sorts of systems will form and exactly how much rain could fall. That's obviously going on to just more of the weather stuff. The rainfall and flooding were not unprecedented. This is important. Had little to do with climate change. Camp Mystic and neighboring communities like Hunt and Kerrville are located on the floodplains of the Guadalupe River Valley. The sediment there that they are built on is deposited by hundreds of floods over the last several thousand years. Flooding there is expected. And while we may be seeing heavier rainfalls in the region because the atmosphere is a little warmer now, there have been no detectable increases in either frequency or magnitude of river floods in the Texas Hill Country since 1965. In fact, they have decreased over the last 60 years, according to the EPA. In early September 1921, downtown San Antonio was inundated beneath 2 to 12 feet of floodwaters caused by the decaying remnants of a Category 1 hurricane that made landfall in Mexico. Over 2 feet of rain fell in the Guadalupe River Valley. 38.2 inches of rain in 24 hours, including 23.4 inches in just 6 hours. July 2, 1932, Mountain Home recorded 32.4 inches of rain in 18 hours, which is caused by a very similar stalled upper-level low. Goes on to give you more detail on that. The highest 24-hour rainfall I could find from Friday's rainfall was a little over 21 inches, so that was far from record-shattering in the general area. The associated flooding also wasn't unprecedented along the Guadalupe River. The crests at all stations were far from the recorded peak. Spring Branch, August 1869. Here are some of the examples. Kerrville, this is 1932, crest at 23.4 feet. 1978, 21 feet. 1869, 35 feet. Bergheim, this doesn't have the date on this one, but it's 49.70 feet. Spring Branch, 29.33 feet in 1869. And over and over and over again. This has happened, and it does happen. And when it happens, it's devastating. This happened in 1987 as well, just devastating floods. Wound up creating a lot of victims in 1987 as well. The issue here is not that the flooding couldn't happen here. The one thing that you can have in a situation like this is a warning system that does, you know, do a better job alerting people. You can get the NOAA radios. The cell phone coverage, not really that good in this particular area, so the cell phone might not be all that valuable. There's a lot of things you can do. I did want to give you this, though, because, you know, this Chris is a guy who's maybe a little more skeptical on the crazy outputs of climate change that the media talks about. I want to give you this from ABC News. If you're getting this from your friends that are saying, oh, gosh, it's all Trump's fault that this wasn't staffed. Here is ABC News going through the actual story.
There are people saying they didn't get enough warnings. There are questions about whether cuts to federal agencies could have left offices short-staffed or caught unawares. You've been studying National Weather Service alerts for years, right? What did you see here?
The National Weather Service was not only staffed fully, but they were actually staffed extra because they knew it would be a big night. So we can't say that they were understaffed, not at this office, that's for sure. We also know that no weather balloons, which had been a problem recently, were missed.
Okay.
So there were no like government staffing issues that we know of. Do I think that something happened from the Weather Service side that was related to that? No. I think that they were staffed fully. I think they did the best they could and put out the warnings in a pretty timely fashion, honestly. The first flash flood warning goes out for Kerr County at 1:14 a.m., more than 3 hours before people are being washed downriver.
So there you go. I mean, it's not just the conservatives saying that. If you actually find people who are honest in the media, and you had an example there, they will tell you that this had nothing to do with Trump's funding issues. All right, we've got a lot more coming up on the program. Dan Andros joins me here in a second. I'm joined now by Dan Andros. He's a managing editor at CBN News, host of CBN's Quick Start podcast, which you can subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. Dan, thanks for coming on. I know it's been just an awful weekend, you know, reacting to these floods and the terrible situations going on here in Texas. Can I get your reaction and anything you've been surprised of?
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing surprises me at this point, Stu, sadly, but it always seems to be like we blast through the floor when I just think we've hit bottom and it goes beyond that. Obviously, a horrible tragedy. But to see it again politicized so quickly, this is to me the downside of social media. I don't need everyone's thoughts on every single thing happening in real time. It's just not good. And like, just let people who are hurting mourn. I mean, this is a terrible tragedy. I can't think of anything worse for a parent to be going through, to, you know, send your child to camp and then lose them. It's horrible.
It really is just awful. And we pray for the families. Mercury1.org, by the way, is doing great work here in Texas. So I encourage you, if you are able to help in any way, you can go to mercury1.org and they can direct you in the right direction. I'm almost positive 100% of the donations that you make toward this go to it. It's one of those situations that they do. They have fundraisers for the overhead every year that are separate from each individual like catastrophe that we might have to deal with. So if you're looking to put your money into an organization that can help, mercuryone.org can help you with that process. All right, Dan, let me take it to something a little bit lighter and try to distract ourselves a little bit from all the horrible things going on. Donald Trump was asked about his support or lack thereof of the Washington Redskins franchise name. Now, you were a longtime Washington Redskins fan. You essentially abandoned the franchise live on the air here one day when they decided to change the name. Do you want to remind people about how that went?
Well, yeah. Dan Snyder vowed for years to not cave. And then I don't know what changed, but in the waning years of his failed ownership of the Redskins, he caved and they changed the name. And then they, you know, had a temporary name, and then it was all just bungled from the beginning, and he was just horrible. And so I'm not cheering for this team, like whatever you name them. The only caveat I had was like, if they named him like the Washington Warriors or whatever, and like kind of kept the logo, I would have been okay with that. Even though I don't think the name is derogatory, but if it's just become because people are nitwits, fine. But like the logo, it's just classic. So I kind of abandoned it. Then I've sort of gently kind of come. I'm in a weird spot now because they did get rid of Dan Snyder, who was the big problem for me. So now they have new ownership in and they're doing a great job. And so I'm like cheering for them now again, but I still don't call them the C word.
Right.
They are the Redskins.
Yes.
So I've been looking for like people who are like buying Reds, like, Jaden, Daniels, I want to get his shirt. And it's like, well, I don't want the Commanders thing on it. So I'm looking for ones that have like a patched Redskin logo on it and stuff. So that's kind of where I'm at.
It's a very complicated, but they are whining and dining you a little bit. Made it to, of course, the NFC Championship game last year. So lots of positive things on the horizon for Washington. I will say you mentioned one thing. Snyder, he said he was going to hold the line this entire time. And then I don't know what happened, but he changed his mind. I had forgotten this, Dan, looking back, but reading the story about the Trump situation, this happened in July 2020. What happened was he folded at peak George Floyd woke mania. I mean, this was like the highlight of the life of the Ibram Kendis of the world. That is that summer. And like you really think about if he would have held out through that time and gotten through another year and a half, probably you're not dealing with finding patched jerseys. They probably still are the Redskins.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I mean, maybe it's for a net win though for them, because then they'd still have probably Dan Snyder. And so they'd still be horrible. Now they're actually good. But I mean, and the whole thing is so frustrating too, because there's no reason to fold. I mean, we've gone through, go back and look up the Studios America episode where I cared about this the whole time. I mean, the name is not derogatory. It's just not. Nope. They've just decided it is a couple of activists and they caved. And what have you done? What's been the results, Stu? Hey, Native Americans, great job. Now no one talks about you at all in this circle of the NFL, which is, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a giant franchise, a giant corporation that has incredible visibility in the country, and you blew it. You really showed them. You got wiped off and no one talks about you now. Like, well done.
It is so, so strange. Now, one of the big supporters of the Washington Redskins name the entire time was Donald Trump. He always said they shouldn't change the name and they should change the name back. Now, I saw a story about Donald Trump talking about the Redskins name again. The way I saw it promoted was like, hey, Donald Trump, again, expressing some support for the Washington Redskins returning. However, when I read the quote, I think it's actually the opposite. Let me get your read on this, Dan, because he starts with this. You want me to make a controversial statement? Question mark. And he says, I wouldn't have changed the name. And that's where like people were focusing. Okay, well, he's making a controversial statement. He wants the Redskins thing back. But I think in Donald Trump's mind, remember, think of the way Trump thinks. He knows everyone wants him to change it back to the Redskins. He says this, you want me to make a controversial statement. I wouldn't have changed the name. It doesn't have the same, it doesn't have the same ring to me. But, winning can make everything sound good. So if they win, all of a sudden the Commanders sound good. I wouldn't have changed the name. But he's saying basically now that they're winning, now they've turned things around, he's kind of taking the stance that you were a little worried about there, Dan. And it's like, now that they're winning, like, maybe the Redskins name has no chance of ever returning.
Oh, yeah, I don't think it does, because unless they go 2-15 next year, mm-hmm. And everyone's mad again, there's just no way, because you've been this franchise. I mean, I've been a fan for a long time, and it was horribly run, just barely any success at all. And then now you got this young quarterback and they're having a great year and looking, it's on the up. And if they have another good year, there's just no way you change that again, because if it goes south, it's like, well, we're cursed again.
Right. It's like redoing the Babe Ruth trade. You just can't do it if they start winning it. And they have had obviously a lot of success rising to the NFC Championship game. Do you remember off the top of your head who they lost to in that game, Dan?
Oh, yeah, I can't. Some green puke team, puke-colored team, I don't know.
You'll be talking, of course, about the world champion Philadelphia Eagles. Just thought I'd point that out. Let's change gears. This is probably a time you're happy to change gears here, Dan. James Gunn is in the news. Now, James Gunn was and I remember him from a controversy he previously had. James Gunn was the director of the the Galaxy movies. What are they called again?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians. Now we're on the Cleveland name change. Guardians of the Galaxy. And he was the director, very successful director of that franchise. And then he was canceled. He was thrown out of that role. Why? Because he made like some slightly off-color jokes like 9 years ago. And like, as you might expect, he's no conservative, by the way. But as you might expect, the conservative side of the aisle was kind of like, this is wrong. Even though he's not our guy, like, this is BS. He shouldn't be getting canceled for making a couple jokes you don't like. So he got some support on the right side of the aisle for that. He then eventually sort of rehabbed. I think he got the Guardians of the Galaxy job back for one of the sequels, right? He kind of came back in, and now he has the big job of directing the new Superman reboot, which is coming out on this weekend, is it? The next weekend? This coming weekend? So it's a big deal. They're dumping a lot of money into it. All that lead up is to get to his comments that came out this weekend. And you think a guy who is like, was embraced by the conservative movement a little bit, knows the controversy that can happen, maybe watched the Snow White catastrophe that just went down a couple of months ago, wouldn't say this, but he was asked about whether, now why was he asked this? I don't know. But he was asked about whether the Superman story is really important because of Donald Trump's aggressive immigration policies. He said, I mean, Superman is the story of America, an immigrant that came from other places and populated the country. But for me, it basically says that human kindness is a value and something is not something that we have lost. He says it should be something there. There will human kindness. There's obviously out there. There are some jerks who will not take kind to this and find it offensive just because it's about kindness. But screw them. Basically saying that, hey, you know what? This is a movie about politics. This is a movie about immigration and how we should, I guess, accept immigrants like people from Krypton.
All right. Can we just break this down for a minute here?
Yes.
So what they're trying to say, that this is a movie really that's about immigrants, that's their thing. So they're saying Superman illegally crossed the border and then now he's just this illegal immigrant just trying to make his way in America. Is that the start? Like, where is the resemblance here? I have not seen any illegal immigrants from Mexico or Guatemala come shooting in like a comet and land in a field and then superhumanly save everyone from every disaster that's happening around. I've never seen that happen before. How is this remotely close to someone illegally crossing the border and then getting a job, you know, at Home Depot or something, or I don't know, like what, how is this the same?
I don't know. I will say this, Dan, and people will call me a squish on the issue of immigration if I say this, but I think you might join me. If an illegal immigrant comes across the border illegally, but then also saves the entire human population,
we
give them a green card, a visa, whatever they need at that point.
Yeah.
If they do that, I'm okay with it. But most of the time, illegal immigration really a problem.
Right. Most of the time it's a problem. I 100% agree. I don't know what a squish is, but I would jump into the squish category with you if we had I mean, don't hold your breath on this happening, Stu, but if an illegal immigrant puts on a suit and can run around and stop bullets and is stopping all of the rapists and fentanyl that's coming in on the border, if they're just sitting there blocking it all, I mean, we love this guy, right? I mean, this guy's a hero in America. We take it. We take it.
Yeah, that's an exception to the immigration policy I'm comfortable with. I just want to make that clear. But like, why can't
the
these
Superman
directors...
Superman exception.
Yes. Yeah. Why can't these people in Hollywood just sit back and say, hey, I'm making a movie about a guy who has lasers that come out of his eyes who can fly. Okay?
There's no political point here.
I'm not changing the world. It's just the bottom line, it's a great story. People love Superman. They're going to have a great time in the theaters. They're going to have some popcorn. They're going to go home. They're going to hug their kid and put him to bed. That's what I'm doing here. Instead, it's got to be this.
Right. Let's. Can we replay it? Can I be the reporter? Hey, you know, James, this movie, you know, I'm watching this trailer and I'm seeing Superman go around and I can't help but think, wow, this is really a good commentary on immigration and how we should treat migrants. Is that what you were going for?
You know, I think you're reading too much into it. What I'm trying to do is make a great movie that everyone's going to enjoy. I want people to have a great summer experience. I want people to go back home and maybe not think about politics for a few hours. So, yeah, I can see how people might read into that. And if that's what you get out of it, that's fine. But that was not our goal. Our goal is just to entertain people. Thanks for your time. By the way,
gays?
I don't want to talk to you anymore. Thank you. Bye-bye. I don't want to talk to you. Thank you. Goodbye.
No, I'm not.
I think that's the appropriate.
That's the way it should go. Yeah.
That's the way it should go. And unfortunately, these guys just don't do that. I mean, I think if they did that a few times, people would stop asking the dumb questions and then it would just be over. They wouldn't have to deal with it anymore. But this is, unfortunately, the era that we live in. They need to become boring like sports athletes are these days. They don't say anything in their interviews. That's what your goal should be when you're a director of a major...
One game at a time.
One game. You know, we're taking it one weekend at a time. Want to see what those box office receipts are. Thanks a lot for your question. Goodbye. Dan Andros, Managing Editor, CBN News. Be sure to check him out on CBN's Quick Start podcast. Head over to subscribe today. Dan, appreciate it, and thanks so much for coming on the program.
All right. Thanks, Stu.
So we're getting back. Remember, Trump delayed almost all of the tariffs a while ago and gave a 90-day period. He was going to do 90 deals in 90 days. So far, we've seen like elements of like one or two deals, nothing really concrete yet. But we are seeing now a potential 25% tariff on Japan and South Korea starting on August 1st. U.S. to apply increased pressure on trade deals, warns that higher tariffs could roll out on August 1st. I guess Japan and South Korea were the first kind of ones, they countries they've mentioned. The Dow is down 450 points. A lot of people were like, well, I mean, we didn't see any really effect from the tariffs. Well, and part of that is, you know, he didn't put the tariffs on, right? Like, I mean, it was, you know, some of them he put on, that there's a 10% general tariff. And like, again, I'm not a tariff guy. I don't like them. That being said, a 10% general tariff should not be enough to sink our economy by any means. Again, most of the stuff we always talk about, we don't make anything here. We make plenty of stuff here. We're the second largest manufacturing country in the world. I'm not saying this is going to sink our economy. We should be able to, at some level, get through this. But I think maybe it's just going to be more difficult. And it's not going to be as positive as maybe some of his other policies. So we will see how that goes. And that's one of the things that him and Elon Musk disagreed on. And we do have multiple new ventures into the world of Musk versus Trump. Musk now saying he's forming a new political party after his split with Trump over the tax cuts law. Again, he would not describe it as a tax cut law. He says he likes tax cuts. He's angry about the spending in the law. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, Trump has mentioned this as well. He's only doing this because of the EV credits. It's hard to know what the real truth there is, honestly. I mean, Musk has been relatively consistent for a long period of time saying he doesn't want these credits. Now, usually it's couched with another thing, which is no one should be getting them. So like, it's not like, oh, well, just take mine away. He's like, take them away. I think he wants them taken away only if they also take them away from oil and other things, which he claims are similar. I would argue that they're not the same type of credit. Not a huge important conversation there. The bottom line is that from the personality standpoint, they are still kind of attacking each other. Donald Trump then responded with a big truth thing, and he said said Musk is off the rails with this third party effort. Third party efforts are really hard. I'm fascinated by third party culture and third party like stories. Like I'm famous for regaling very bored audiences with the story of the Prohibition Party nomination from many years back. I like that stuff. I'm fascinated by it because it takes a really interesting person to go down that road and try to build something that's so hard to do. Every rule is set up against you. Now, Elon Musk can absolutely overwhelm those rules with his money. He can spend enough to get the American Party. I think there was another American Party, by the way. That's a whole other thing. I need to look into that. I know there's an American Independence Party. There's a bunch of different ones. But I think there was an American Party as well at one point. Bottom line, though, is you can go through all this. It's really difficult to get on the ballots. When you do, everyone hates you. Most likely thing he would do would be to break up conservative voters from Republicans, and that's why Republicans are complaining about this. He's saying basically we're going to pick a few different things where we think we can make a difference. Maybe a couple of districts here and there, maybe run five or six candidates in specific areas. So that actually, you might find a positive there in certain circumstance, but it's going to be difficult to find that circumstance. Finally, we only have a minute left. We talked a lot about this on radio today. Exclusive DOJ, FBI conclude Epstein had no client list and died by suicide. This pissed off a lot of people. Elon Musk, one of them, says this is the final straw. It was unclear about what the final straw of what. I guess maybe his relationship with Trump. If you remember when they had that first flare up, the biggest post that biggest attack that Elon Musk had is the reason why these Epstein files aren't coming out is because Donald Trump is in them. Now, I don't believe, I believe he's in the files because he was friends with Jeffrey Epstein for many years. But I don't think that there's any evidence that Donald Trump did any of these things that that Jeffrey Epstein did. I can't imagine anyone would be able to keep that secret. Certainly would have been kept secret through the Biden administration. That is the sort of like insinuation here. We will see if anything comes of that. But what does not seem to be on the mend right now, on the road to repair, is the Donald Trump, Elon Musk relationship. And frankly, like the country is worse off for that, I believe. So unfortunately, I don't think that one's coming around anytime soon. Back in a second. Might not be exactly dinner table conversation, but if you're a guy who's noticed your energy or your drive or your performance just isn't what it used to be, you're maybe not the only one in America with that issue. And there are real solutions out there that many are finding. Blue Chew makes it easy. It works fast, it lasts, and it makes the bedroom experience a little more enjoyable for you. Right now, you can try it for a whole month for free. All you have to do is go to bluechew.com. And answer a few questions, consult with a licensed medical provider, and if you are approved, your prescription ships right to your door in just a few days. It's made right here in the U.S., and the entire process happens online, so there's no uncomfortable doctor visits when you have to go through all that nonsense, no awkward face-to-face conversations, no waiting around at the pharmacy, and we got a special deal for all the listeners to this program. As always, your first month of Blue Chew is free, but you got to use the promo code STU to get that. You use it at checkout, you get $5 for shipping, that's it. Blue Chew's global mission to make things better in the bedroom. Head to bluechew.com for details and safety info. Bluechew.com and use the code STU. Bluechew.com. After I'm done here, I'm going to be heading out to the airport and flying in to go see our own Glenn Beck. Glenn up at his ranch in Idaho. I've never been there after all the invites over the years. Not that I didn't want to see Glenn, of course. But it's also cold in Idaho for a good chunk of the year. Anyway, it's nice up there right now, so I'm going to go visit. I can't wait to see the ranch. We'll be doing the show from the ranch the next few days, and hopefully we can even get Glenn to come on the program with us at some point. So looking forward to that. We will see you tomorrow from Idaho.